General Kenobi.
Hello there.
Hello there. Welcome to episode 14 of Hello There, a Star Wars podcast, your weekly show for all things Star Wars. My name is Anthony Palm, and with me, as he is every week, is my good friend Nathaniel Hicks.
One of these days I'm not going to be here, and it's just going to throw you off because you're going to read it off of the thing and you're like, oh wait, no, he's not here.
Well, we've had a couple in recent weeks where it wasn't you. So, so we're back. You may have noticed that this episode is going up a little later in the week, and that is intentional because we're excited to announce that we are partnering with our podcast hosting service called Anchor. And their website is anchor.fm. And so basically what we're doing is we're partnering with them, and it's a really cool feature they're introducing. So essentially, fans of podcasts get to support their favorite podcast now. So if you go to anchor.fm/hello there, once this episode is live, which obviously when you're listening to it, that means now, you can actually go and support us right now on Anchor. So I believe you can do up to, now this is, we're talking money here, and of course this podcast will always be free. This is purely if you would like to support us. We love the fact that you're listening regardless, so please don't feel obligated, but it would be a huge, huge help to us. But essentially you can give us, I believe it's between $5 and $10 on Anchor. That would be monthly, and that would be a huge, huge, huge support to us. So what we're doing, there's not really any tiers like the way Patreon does it. So we're just going to give a shout out to anyone that supports us on Anchor, and we're going to be promoting the crap out of the show on Twitter and probably Facebook, but we actually don't have a group on Facebook for Hello There, so maybe we'll work on that. More to come soon for that. So yeah, check us out on anchor.fm/hello there. Check us out if you would like to give us any sort of patronage. We would greatly appreciate it. Now onto the show. So not a whole lot of news this week. We're not really a news podcast anyways, but I figure we could touch on one thing that kind of came up, I think, yesterday. We're recording this on Tuesday, August 7th. But before we jump into that, Nate, you have anything on your mind? How you been? How's the cat? How the cats? Multiple cats? How's your wife? All that, you know?
The cats have been good. They do this thing where they've torn up over the course of time the bottom part of our box spring. So anytime they get scared, I'll know to see if they're under there, if there's two large lumps in my box spring. So that happened earlier because we had someone come to fix our like sliding door because one of those things is broken in, and he basically just replaced it. But other than that, I've been catching up on Thrawn, trying to finish it up, and then I started the my return viewing of Clone Wars. So that's what
right, and today. So you are doing the chronological order?
Yes, I am doing chronological.
So I restarted as doing the chronological order as well. I had previously restarted it like a week before, so I skipped the episodes that I had already rewatched, which were episodes 1 through 4. I did watch Rookies before as well, but I wanted to rewatch it because we mentioned a couple episodes ago, you had mentioned that when you had first seen it live on TV, that was it Fives? It's either Fives or Heavy. Oh, one of them says, "What the hell was that?" When the Rishi eel jumps out and eats Cut Up, and So that is still there on the Netflix version. That is still there. I don't know if they ever censored it in the U.S. I just don't know if they did. But on the Netflix version, that is still there where I think it's Fives. And he goes, "What the hell was that?" And then also later on in the episode, they actually drop the H word another time. where one of them, Rex is saying, I don't remember the exact, you know, I'm not going to say the exact quote, but something along the lines of, like, Rex stole someone's, like, droid kill, and one of the other rookies says, like hell you did. And so, yeah, that's still there, which is kind of cool that they didn't censor it.
It's something so minute. It's just one of those things that caught my attention, like, the second time I watched it on air. And it's like, it's of course not, like, none of that's a big deal, but it was on Cartoon Network, so I can see why Cartoon Network would want to censor that, because even though hell is very cursory curse word.
I don't know. I know what
something
you're
saying. Like that. Yeah.
Whatever. So, we're not English majors.
Yeah.
But, the thing is, when that episode first launched, I don't think it would have been as big a deal as when Disney had bought Star Wars. Because now we think of Star Wars, we think of Disney, and we think of, as far as the, you know, cursing factor and all that stuff, like, they don't want to, you know, promote any type of, you know, swear words or anything like that because it's Disney. But back when it was just Lucasfilm, you know, and Fox, I guess, I wouldn't have really paid as much mind to it, I don't think.
This also,
which is,
yeah,
probably why I did, which is probably why it didn't stick out to me on my original, like, viewing, yeah, back in the day.
Because it's also from the same network that brought you shows such like Samurai Jack, you know, over the course of actual aired Cartoon Network. Not was okay. Never mind. I'm gonna go down a rabbit hole. I was like, wait, was that Toonami or was that aired Cartoon Network?
It's on that channel. It's,
yeah,
it's the same channel. But yeah, so I've continued my Clone Wars rewatch. It's kind of fun. I'm at the point in season one where it's just now I'm watching it straight. You know what I mean? Because there's, like, large gaps where it is just in release order, and then every once in a while you have to double check and be like, all right, now I got to jump to this episode in season four, which then goes back to season one, or yeah, whatever. But I finished Thrawn. So this is the second book in a row, Buster, that you said, oh, you should check this book out. I really like it. And then I finished it way before you.
It comes down to time. It comes down to, like, you're like, oh, you're busy, and then you have, like, a solid period of time where you just knock it out. And I've been listening to it, like for the past 2 days. Like, I didn't do Sunday because I just chilled out on Sunday, but, like, these past 2 days,
I listened
to it, like, nonstop, constantly. I woke up this morning, put it on when I went to go get breakfast, and then I played No Man's Sky a little bit today, and so I had it on the back. I'm, like, 2.5 hours from finishing, so I'm not far, but...
Yeah, you're as Doctor Strange would say, we're in the end game now. which is sort of not really kind of a spoiler, but whatever, we're moving on from that. Yeah, so let's just jump into our Thrawn thoughts. What do you think? Because I don't know exactly where you are, so I want you to talk first so that I know what you're up to, so I don't spoil anything in the end for you.
So Thrawn thoughts right off the bat. I started it when I took my trip to Indianapolis for training, which was a few weeks ago. I started it whenever I got on the plane. And at first, it was kind of one of those, I was like, I'm not really paying attention. Like, it was the very, very first part of the book. I'm like, okay, this is kind of slow. And then when it comes down to, I'm like, where are they going with this? And then when it comes down to whenever they get back on the ship and they notice someone there, I was like, oh, wait, that's going to be Thrawn. And then, like, kind of, I think it was maybe half a chapter after that, I was like, all right, I'm hooked. I'm really, really hooked. And then when, I guess we'll go ahead and say spoilers too if you haven't read the book, but it came out last year.
When did Thrawn come out? 2015?
17. Came out last year.
Oh, it only came out last year for some reason. Maybe they announced it in 2016. I don't remember. But it's been out for a while. So spoilers for the first Thrawn novel in the new canon by Timothy Zahn.
Yeah.
Continue.
Immediately, whenever you have that scene where Thrawn is meeting with Palpatine and he drops the Anakin bomb, I was like, oh.
Oh, it gave me chills. It gave me chills.
I was like, dude, let's go. I was in.
And knowing that Thrawn Alliances is, you know, kind of like flashing back to him and Anakin, like, that made that scene even cooler because I was like, oh, I can't wait to see this in the next book.
Yeah. So as far as where I'm at right now, we just made the discovery that Signe was, what was his name?
Night Swan,
yes. I was like, Starspawn? I was like, no, that's not right.
Wait, you're just finding out that he's Night Swan?
Yeah, I'm in chapter...
Oh, when Eli meets up with him.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, yep. I'm okay, yeah, you're close to the end then.
Yeah, I'm in chapter, I think, on my Audible, I think it's like 24, 25. I think I just started 25. So that's where I'm at right now. And I may have to read some cliff notes on the last two chapters because there's some of that that just kind of went kind of right over my head. And like I had to stop and like really pay attention to that scene whenever Eli discovers that he's Night Swan. But from my understanding, it's kind of maybe just some like Imperial stuff that's going on that Thrawn, that they're getting onto Thrawn about. But I think the coolest thing for me, because we talked about it earlier, the coolest thing for me is the fact of, since Disney's not really helping me out on my rewatch for Rebels or my watching of Rebels, I was not aware that Governor Price is, like you said, a main antagonist in season two.
She's like the main character. Like she's the governor of Lothal. I thought she was in season one.
I haven't met her yet, as far as I can tell. But whenever I get it, I'm gonna rewatch it from the beginning.
I thought I could have sworn she was in season one because I know there's the minister. What's her name? Like Maketh or something like that. I don't remember her name. She works under Price. Yeah. I could have sworn Governor Price was in season one, but maybe not. But I think season one and two kind of blurred together for me, to be honest.
Since I haven't met her yet, and I got to see her beginnings in this book, I think I'm going to have a deeper appreciation for the character, apart from where you were like, I just thought she was a bitch. So maybe I'll have a more deeper look at that character.
Yeah, that's what I said to you, is I really want to rewatch Rebels because of the fact that I'm going to have a deeper understanding of who, you know, Arinda is and kind of why she is the way she is. And even though she is kind of a shitty person, that she's, you know, like I'll understand why she's like that, you know?
Yeah.
So what her arc is totally, I think you've seen pretty much that. I mean, she does have some scenes later on, but like you've seen like the worst of her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So one thing that this book does, and
is she governor yet for you?
Yeah, she's good.
Okay, so you saw you were here arrested and all that.
They just had a meeting. The last scene of hers that I listened to was everyone was gathered. This was the scene right before Eli has that scene with Night Swan, where they're all gathered to go over this mission, and Price is there, and Thrawn's like, you know, good to see you. And, you know, they have a little back and forth. But one of the things I really enjoy about this book is it gives a lot of context to a lot of other mediums. So, like, when it talks about the whole thing with the Wookiee slaves, I remember that from episode one of Rebels, of them rescuing those Wookiee slaves. And then in my mind, I'm like, in this scene, when they're talking about, like, resistance, and they're having to battle resistance with these Wookiees, was that a part of that? Because I know Thrawn doesn't come in later until, like, three, I think.
Yeah, so I think that is a different group of Wookiee slaves, but I think it just goes to show that that's how many Wookiee slaves there are in the Empire.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's the exact same group of Wookiees that, you know, Kanan and Hera and them save. But, yeah. I mean, it might be. Maybe later on. But I'm pretty sure Thrawn takes... When does Thrawn take place? Looks like 2 years before the Battle of Yavin was towards the end of the book. I don't know when that scene takes place. So so it's close. You know, timeline-wise, it's close.
Yeah. But this is just an outstanding novel. I mean, it's a really, really good story. As much as I really liked Last Shot, I think this is above and beyond a better book.
Yeah, Thrawn is much easier to follow because it's not all... Because I just don't think that there was... Last Shot had, what, four different perspectives in it? And it just kind of felt like it was all over the place. Like, they probably could have even removed the whole, like, past Han stuff from Last Shot. I know it's supposed to be a Han Solo book, and that's why they had that in there. But I think the past timeline Han stuff was kind of unnecessary in Last Shot. You only really needed the Lando stuff, the Fison Gore like past stuff, and then the current day Han and Lando stuff. Which I guess, I mean,
there's Lando, only really one thing that was important with Han's past, and it wasn't really important.
It was that Han came across the thing that Fison Gore was looking for, and he, yeah, and it's like I think it could have been condensed for Han's past story with that, but I do like Last Shot, but I think Thrawn just as a novel, I think overall is just so superior and so much just so good in general. What I really like about it is that it's you don't need to know any of the other like kind of Star Wars lore outside of like knowing that the Death Star exists, knowing that who the Emperor is, knowing who Anakin's got. Aside from that major stuff, you don't really need to know anything. And it doesn't really radically change anything with the movies. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, so this is why this thing happened in A New Hope. It's like, it doesn't really do anything like that. But like it's Rogue such One. A, but it's, right. But it's such a, kind of a thorough story of its own in that universe. Mm-hmm. And what it did really well for me is it made me care about a character I didn't think I was going to give a flying crap about in Eli Vanto. I thought that when the book started, I was like, I hope this guy isn't around for long. I don't really like him. I don't like the accent the narrator's giving him. He's kind of whatever. And then by the end of the book, I was like, Eli Vanto is one of my favorite characters, and he's an Imperial. So yeah. I think that the book does that really – it handles that very, very well. And so I never read Heir to the Empire, which was the original, you know, Thrawn book back in the day. But Heir to the Empire took place after Return of the Jedi. I don't know. I just genuinely don't know. And I should really go back and read it, even if it's considered Legends now. But I don't know if there's any flashbacks in it. So I don't know if we see a young Thrawn in it, or if it's a Thrawn that's already Grand Admiral who is, you know, like trying to take back the Empire once the Emperor dies. But what I think that this book does so well is it perfectly describes just the total, like, kind of clinical nature to Thrawn's mind. You know what I mean? Like, he just, even just the way that he notices people's mannerisms while they're talking to him. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll be, like, someone will talk to them and he'll notice, like, the slightest twitch in their eye, or he'll notice if they start sweating, or, like, if they move one way really fast. And so he's so calculated. And I love the way that the book portrays that. And it's consistent the whole way through. It's not kind of just like a magic trick that Timothy Zahn does once or twice in the book. That's Thrawn. Like, Thrawn is that super calculated guy. And the other thing I really appreciate is that it doesn't paint Thrawn as just kind of a jerk. He thinks everything through, and he understands consequences for things. And that's what I really, really appreciate about this book.
Yeah, we talked about this, like, in conversation. But another thing it does for me is it gives, which I didn't expect to happen, it makes me care about, it makes me put the Empire in a different context. So a lot of these characters in this book, yeah, they are a part of the Empire, but this book helped me split the Empire and the persons and the people who are in the Empire.
Right.
So like in Thrawn in particular, I know Thrawn is a bad dude, but in this book, I want him to succeed. I want to watch him climb.
But
the
ranks. The thing is that now that I'm thinking back to him in Rebels, I'm not so sure if he's truly evil or if he's just kind of... I don't want to talk too much about Thrawn and Rebels because you haven't seen it yet. But the book does a very good job of kind of showing Thrawn is not inherently an evil person. Mm-hmm. But he kind of... They don't directly say this, but it's kind of implied that he also does understand that by being in the Empire, that kind of makes him evil, even if he is himself is not inherently evil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like that the book kind of plays with that, and Thrawn himself even kind of acknowledges that. There's a scene with, you know, where you're talking about with the Wookiee slaves, and Eli kind of mentions to him, like, hey, I don't really like that the Empire's doing this. And Thrawn is like, well, this could be the reasons for them being slaves, and also we don't really have the means to do anything about it, so you know, whatever our, you know, personal politics on it are, doesn't matter because we can't do anything about it. And yeah. So it's kind of like Thrawn, he's a complex character. He's not just an evil guy. You know what I mean? Like Arinda Price, she is more complex than I thought she was, but she still is kind of she still kind of sucks, you yeah. know. Like, but Thrawn, he's a lot more complex than I had originally kind of had him. Obviously, I knew he was, you know, very calculated and very intelligent, but not even so much emotionally, just kind of just like what he's made up of, you know, the stuff he's made of, that kind of intangible stuff. He's much more complex than I had thought of him as in Rebels. And again, it makes me kind of think a little differently about certain things that he does or does not do in Rebels.
Yeah. It's also one of those that...
And there's a major spoiler in Rebels that I want to bring up right now to compare are into Price and Thrawn, but I can't save because you don't know what happens. And
just curse
like
of Disney,
major,
dude.
Major spoiler.
Curse of Disney, because I'm not gonna spend over. Like, I'm not gonna spend $34 for. We're not gonna get into it because I'm gonna get.
Yeah,
it.
We're not. Yeah,
but it's one of those things. Also, like, oh, I lost my train of thought. What was it? It's one of those things that if I was on the other end of Thrawn, like in a battle or in something like that, and I lost, like, because the way he's portrayed the book, I would be totally fine with accepting defeat from Thrawn, because I the way that they talk about him and go through his thought process, it's like, oh, this dude is so intelligent that he, like, without brute force, with just complete skill and cunning, was able to defeat his enemies no matter the cost. And
but I also do think that
it shows a lot of respect too in his in his victory.
Excuse me. The thing that the book does well too is that it shows that Thrawn is willing to find every last way of, you know, getting a job done without unnecessary losses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, when he, like, he leaves people alive because he's like, well, they have benefits outside of, you know what I mean? Like, he isn't just gonna, like, he, like Darth Vader or Tarkin, they would just blow something up, or they would just, you know, like, Vader would just slay everything.
Yeah.
And Thrawn is like, well, we could save X amount of people by doing it this way, or we can save even more people by doing it this way. And he thinks of everything. He thinks of all the consequences, all the potential outcomes before it happens. And that's what I really like about Thrawn. But what's interesting is that there are instances where Thrawn kind of does go a little too far, like when he destroys the people's land when he's blown up the spice, you know, the unrefined spice. I don't remember the, what were they, the Aiffs?
Yeah,
called?
Aiffs.
And by the way, I did not like the filter they had on the audiobook for those characters. It, like, really bothered me. Like, listening, maybe through speakers would have been fine, but with headphones, it was really rough listening to, like, the squeaky mechanic noise behind the, like, the, it's kind of rough. But yeah, that whole scene where, like, he torches their land and he's like, well, did you want to be saved or not? And they're like, you couldn't have found any other way to not destroy our land? And so, you know, there are instances where Thrawn's, as much as he wants you to believe he's perfect, he's not. And so yeah. I like that there's that kind of example in the book as well of him, you know, kind of like understanding there's not really any other way to do this other than torching these people's land. So
I think one of the best scenes we can use to compare what we're talking about is the scene where Thrawn and Eli are still under the command of Chino. I can't remember his title. Was he commander or was he an admiral?
I think he was commander.
He was commander, under Commander Chino, and they had that battle with the vulture droids. And Thrawn was like, hey, I discovered the frequency. Do this. And communicated that to the other corvette that the admiral was on. And then even though Thrawn saved the day, defeated the vulture droids, the admiral, like, took it out on Chino, because Chino basically fell on his own sword. But it's one of those things, like, Thrawn did the right thing and found the right way to win this battle and save a bunch of lives, whereas the admiral was just going to go gung-ho and do it his way and probably would have got a lot more people killed.
Right, so that's kind of, it shows the politics of the Empire as well, which we also kind of see with, what's his name? Grand Moff, was it Gotti?
Gotti,
yeah. You know, when he's trying to take advantage of, you know, Arinda. But what was cool, and what I didn't realize, there's a lot of Rebels characters in this book that I just didn't realize because I was listening to the audiobook, so I didn't read the names. And so, like, you know, when I actually read the name Azadi, I was like, wait a minute, I know writer Azadi. And so, like, the original governor of Lothal, like the governor at the start of the book, is a main character in, not a main character, he's like a secondary character, but he's like a major supporting character, I guess you could, you know, classify him as in Rebels. And so I went back and I was like, oh crap, like Ryder Azadi was in this book too, and I didn't even realize it. So it's really cool how they tie a lot together. I'm interested to see that they never really, and this isn't really a spoiler because I don't know if you'd be looking for it anyways, but they never really name drop any of the Rebels on Lothal, they don't even really bring them up too much. I think Orinda like kind of mentions it in passing that there's kind of a resistance there. But they never mention the Bridger family, which I was kind of hoping they would do, and they didn't. So
I think that would have been a little too on the nose for them to name drop that.
Well, Ezra.
Like
spoilers. Spoilers for Rebels. I won't continue.
I kind of like how when they bring it up like that, and then when they bring it up in the sense that there's resistance, you can kind of get a thought of, oh, I wonder what resistance force is on Lothal. You know, instead of being like, hey, it's this, like kind of just giving you a kind of...
Right, it's like, oh, hey, that's obviously Kanan and Hera and Sabine, but they're not saying it's Kanan and Hera and Sabine, you know?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
But overall, really enjoy the book. You put it perfectly in the beginning as a self... This is a perfect self-contained story that adds and doesn't subtract from anything else in the universe, but it doesn't go overboard by having to name drop or anything like that.
Right. Now, the last two chapters are awesome. So there's nothing really major that happens. It's kind of just like wrapping up the story and some political stuff, but the scenes themselves and the dialogue in them, that's what's awesome about the last kind of two chapters and the epilogue. So I'm excited for you to finish it, and we'll talk about the ending, I think, next week. Like, you know, we're getting kind of our general thoughts on the book out now, and then we'll talk the ending specifically next week. So last thought on Thrawn for me, and then I don't know if you had anything else you want to bring up, but I really do like how Thrawn and Eli are kind of putting together that the Empire is working on something big. Because they keep talking, they keep bringing up the Dunium, and they keep bringing up how there's like shipments all over the galaxy, and you know, there's a lot of stuff off the books and stuff, and it's really cool that Thrawn is starting to put together that the Empire is working on something big, which clearly is the Death Star. Like, that's not like... I won't spoil if Thrawn puts it together completely or not for you, but I think it's pretty obvious that Thrawn is like, hey, they're working on something. And then as the reader, you're like, oh, it's the Death Star.
Yeah.
So I like that they add that touch to it too, where Thrawn's not just kind of like just in his own universe. Thrawn is figuring out big galactic wide kind of things as well. So I really like that about the book. I can't wait to start Alliances, man. I'm excited. The thing is, it's weird because I have the physical book for Alliances, but I really liked the narration for Thrawn's voice in the audiobook. So it's bittersweet. Like, I almost kind of wish I got the audiobook, but we'll see.
Yeah, for me, I guess the last thought I have is, and it's kind of something going forward as well, I want more, like, historical lookbacks on the Clone Wars. Like, that's one of the things I really like in this story, is when they talk about the Clone Wars artifacts and Thrawn's fascination with them and him collecting them. Like, I like that perspective of, let's take a look back on this history that for a lot of people is really dark. Like, when you hear the dialogue,
I love how many droids get mentioned it.
Yeah, and like how, like when Admiral Yularen, when he's sitting there talking about it, and Thrawn narrates that when he talks about it, he has a look of like disdain, or has a look of like bad memories, basically. So I like that reflective look on the Clone Wars, and that's kind of something I wish that we could see maybe in content going forward. I would hope so, like something I can actually physically like visually see. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, that's I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that I did notice as well, that Thrawn kind of likes the Clone Wars as much as I do. So I'm really glad that Timothy Zahn really was able to bridge a lot of different things into his novel when he was kind of the one that was there before all the extra stuff, you know what I mean? So I like that he, you know, kind of played along and added a bunch of kind of in-universe kind of touches. And the fact that Thrawn was so infatuated with the Clone Wars was really awesome to me. And I think we're going to get some of that stuff that you're talking about in Alliances just from knowing that we're getting flashbacks to Anakin and Thrawn. I think that alone is going to kind of give us a taste of what we're looking for. I don't know to what, to what extreme, but I definitely think so. There's one thing that I texted you about this book. It was a quote from Thrawn himself that I'm trying to find in our text messages. Here we go. Okay. So there's a line from Thrawn. I don't remember what chapter. But he says, even when false, legends can be most informative. Do you think this is a dig at Disney making the old books quote unquote legends and they're not canon anymore? Maybe not a dig, but maybe a shout out to like, hey, some of these books, they're not technically canon, but you can still kind of take some stuff from them. Like stood out to me when he said that. I was like, that stood out.
I would like to think so, but it's one of those that.
Because Timothy's on, he could have said myths. He could have said, we'll open up a thesaurus and say any other synonym for legends. He specifically said legends. So I thought that was very interesting.
I'd probably say yes. The safe answer I'd probably say would be yes. But it's one of those that, unless he outright says it, which he won't, it's kind of one of those fun things to think about. Right. It's like, did he do that?
So I just thought that was a really cool nod to Heir to the Empire and the old extended universe canon.
So real quick, I looked on Audible right now, and if you are an Amazon Prime member, it is available for $12 for the audiobook. But I think I'm able to gift a book. So when we get done with this, I can see if I can do that.
How many credits do you have? I don't want you to pay for it.
I have 6.
Oh, if you have stocked credits.
I
didn't want you to pay for it as well.
Yeah. Well, I was saying, normally they're like $20 or $30 for the audiobook, but right now it's $12.25. But if I can gift you, I will.
That'd be cool. I would appreciate that very much. It's like, you know what I'm saying, though, where I do want to read it physically, but at the same time, like, hearing Thrawn's voice, like, the narration. I keep forgetting his name. Who's the narrator for the book?
It's like Mark Thompson.
Mark Thompson?
I think it's Mark. Something like that.
Mark Thompson, yeah.
Yeah.
He like, nails the voice of Thrawn, because in Rebels, he's voiced by Lars Mikkelsen, who is Mads Mikkelsen's brother. And Lars Mikkelsen does it exactly the way you would think Thrawn talks. And Mark Thompson does a very good job of kind of emulating that.
He's got a lot of really spot on impressions. Like, I really liked his Tarkin. I thought that was really good.
The Tarkin one, it takes me like one or two sentences before I get used to it. And then it's like, okay, yeah, it's Tarkin. Just because his voice is so much deeper than. Well, oh my god, I'm sorry, I can't. Oh my god, I'm having a brain fart. Who plays Admiral Tarkin? Grand Moff Tarkin, not Admiral. Why can't I remember the actor that plays Peter Cushing? Peter Cushing, I'm sorry. I did know it. It was one of those brain farts. But yeah, his voice is much deeper than Peter Cushing, so it takes me like a second to kind of get into it. But yeah, I like a lot of his. Really liked his Han impression in his old Han. Or medium Han, I guess, in Last Shot. He does do a lot of good ones. I don't really dig his female voices, though, which isn't his fault because he's not a female. But like his Jew or here voice.
It was kind of
frustrating. And his driller voice is kind of funny because it's like super like,
oh, yeah,
listen here, Rindo. it was kind of. But yeah. I mean, the ones that count, he does very well.
Yeah.
I really did like his Arinda Price voice, because she kind of is just a kind of a, you know, very stern British accent. And, you know, he does Arinda's voice justice. But yeah, Jua here, not feeling it. I know it probably would have been a lot more money to have an additional voice actress, but I would have just much rather had a female voice actress doing just those lines.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so next week, so you're going to wrap up Thrawn
this
1
week for sure.
This week. We'll talk about that next week. And then maybe we'll start Thrawn Alliances. I don't know if we'll talk about it yet. I mean, unless we get through a large chunk of it, because I feel like we've been kind of talking about Thrawn in a tertiary way for like weeks and weeks and weeks, and then we didn't really get into it till this week. So maybe we'll hold off until we're a good chunk through Alliances to really talk about it on the podcast. But I'm really happy that you had me read it, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm really excited for Alliances.
Yeah, I am too. Like, this is one of those that I just have recently gotten into listening to more audiobooks, really since we started listening to Last Shot. And so this is a character that I've known about and I've wanted to know more about. And this book it's just outstanding. It's a very well done book, and there's nothing really bad I could say about it except for Jewier's voice.
Yeah, I would definitely say find a way to watch Rebels. Wink, wink. Because I really am interested. I want to rewatch Rebels too. I'm really interested to kind of take another look at Arinda and Thrawn in that series, knowing what I know about them from this novel.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming Alliances takes place before Rebels as well, so.
Yeah.
But I don't think Arinda is in Alliances, though.
I only got, like, 9 episodes into Rebels when it was still on Disney's streaming service. So I'm definitely going to rewatch whenever I get a chance to. But yeah, that's something I'm excited about too, is to rewatch this after having the context of listening to Thrawn.
Yeah, so that's going to wrap our Thrawn discussion for this week. What else we got going on this week? Because we talked a little bit about Clone Wars. Not a lot going on this week. It's probably going to be a little shorter of a show. But we can talk about, I kind of alluded to it at the beginning of the show. So it was announced this week, or I don't know if it was announced or leaked or just kind of rumored, but Jon Favreau's Star Wars live action series is going to have a $100 million budget. Whoa. It's going to take place 7 years after Return of the Jedi, which is cool, and is rumored to take place on Mandalore. That's kind of weird. I don't know. How do you feel about that? So there's a lot of Mandalore stuff in Rebels that you don't know about, too. I feel like I was kind of content with where they wrapped Mandalore in Rebels. And even if they didn't bring it up in Rebels, I was still kind of content with where they left it in Clone Wars. You know? So what do you think?
Well, for Favreau, I feel like Mandalore and the stories with Mandalore, I feel like are a really good grounded starting point in the Star Wars universe that doesn't really delve too much into like other things like the Force and things like that necessarily. So I feel like with Favreau in particular, these stories could be in really good hands. But without my knowledge of what goes on in Rebels with the Mandalore stuff, that's coming from my experience of I'm excited for that. That's the thing, is do we know if it's going to be solely surrounding Mandalore, like the story of Mandalore, or is it just going to be like, I don't think we know. I think it's just that it was just a little tidbit that came out that it was supposed to be taking place on Mandalore.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's such an absolute tease. Like, it's not, again, I don't even know if it was any confirmed sources or if it was just rumors, but the way I looked at it is I was kind of content with where they left Mandalore in Rebels. And when people, and I'm sending you a link, by the way, when they leave, or when fans that haven't watched Rebels or haven't watched Clone Wars or anything like that, when fans hear Mandalore, they are, you know, naturally going to think Boba Fett. But Boba Fett and Jango Fett weren't Mandalorians.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's like,
they just had Mandalore armor.
They just had Mandalorian armor, right? Because I think there was even a one-off line in Clone Wars, I think, where someone mentions Jango Fett being a Mandalorian, and they're like, he's not a Mandalorian, or he's a fake Mandalorian. It's some kind of one-off. It's like a one-off line like that. Like look away for a second, you're gonna miss it. But so it's just interesting. Like, why would they do Mandalore? And like, because you think, okay, Boba Fett, but then it's like, but it's not Boba Fett. Unless Boba Fett ingratiates himself with the Mandalorians. You know what I mean? But that's kind of weird. So, I don't know.
I really don't know. I was going to say, on the fact of that it's going to cost $100 million, I was going to say that I was trying to remember, because earlier this year there was news that came out about Amazon's Lord of the Rings series, and I just looked it up. Their Lord of the Rings series is going to reportedly cost $500 million. So,
$500 million? Jeez.
Yeah, so I think definitely $100 million for a TV Star Wars project is going to be more than enough.
I think so too.
That's going to be interesting to see what all it's going to consist of, if that's the budget for the show. But I really just want to know what it's going to be. Because, I mean, we haven't had any live-action Star Wars TV content in ever.
I don't think we ever had live-action. The only live-action anything outside of the movies was the holiday special.
Yeah.
So, because George did have, he did want to do a live action series that took place on Coruscant, which he had like a ton, like I think like 20 scripts or something, 10 or 20 scripts for it that were done, and they scrapped it, obviously. And then Star Wars Detours, that was going to be like a parody show. I don't know if that was live action or kind of like Robot Chicken. But yeah, no, we haven't had anything live action that was not a feature film. So I'm very curious to see the casting for it. When they announce the casting, that's when I'm going to really start getting hyped for it. But we still don't even know what... like, we don't even really know, like, what direction it's going in. We don't really know, like... I don't know. It's just, like, we don't even know what the Disney streaming service is yet. Like, is it going to end up being Hulu once they acquire Fox? But it's launching this fall, so it can't be Hulu because they're not acquiring Fox till next year. So it's like, I just don't understand. Like, tell us. It's like, stop talking about the streaming service. Stop talking about what's going to be in it and tell us what it is. Yeah. We don't even know what it is. So that's kind of where I'm at, where it's like, you keep telling us all this cool stuff that's going to be in it, but how much is it going to cost? What does it have in it? Does it have anything other than Disney stuff? What, you know what I mean? So that's kind of where I am with that.
That is another thing to bring up, is that's something that came up this week too, is that the Star Wars movies, the all of the movies are not going to be on the streaming service when it launches. I don't know if ever, but for sure when
episodes 1 through 6, I think it's through 2020 or 2021. It's a licensing deal with TNT. So whenever that deal expires, then they'll put them in.
Yeah. Which, like someone had who posted it originally that I saw it, they had a good point of, it's not a big deal for most, if not all of us, because we already own them and we've seen them multiple times. But for someone who really wants to see them either digitally all in one place, or like if you're just wanting, it's, that's basically just having it all in one place, it does kind of suck. But hopefully all of their other stuff will be on there, like Clone Wars and Rebels, and Disney will finally give me a chance to watch Rebels. I'm still mad about that.
Yeah, I'm hoping you find a way to watch it before the fall, because there's a lot of stuff that I want to talk about in Thrawn and just in general. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, so what's going on? Anything? Not really any news left to talk about, I don't think. We talked about the casting, cast release for episode 9 last week. Anything just random going on? You know? I got a new cat that we named Leia. Against my wife's wishes, but she kind of just caved to it because she named Kovu, who was our third cat. This is our fourth cat, Leia. So she's a cute little black cat. It's funny when you see, like, at nighttime, all you see is her eyes because she just, you know. So.
No, nothing really in particular. I'm excited to, I don't know. There's been some stuff that I've seen that I've been really interested in. I'm really excited to kind of get through and finish the rewatch of the Clone Wars, just because, like I was telling you, I think before we started recording, unchronological, like when it starts off at the Battle of Christophsis, like I thought it was going to be a little weird because I've already rewatched the Clone Wars twice. I watched it when it first aired and then I rewatched it on Netflix, and I'm used to that order. But the, like you put it, it puts everything in context and makes an actual arc instead of having like episodes that are kind of separate from each other and then have an arc. So I was really excited about that. And especially when you started off chronologically, everything still makes sense. It's not like nothing makes sense. Like, you,
yeah, it's
you
just
know,
gonna be a couple one-off episodes are like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like it's a couple one-off episodes, you're not gonna realize that they tied into another episode, but as a standalone episode, they're still fine.
Yeah. I haven't seen the Clone Wars movie in a long time, so that's going to be interesting to rewatch.
It's it's a thing.
It's okay. Like it.
It's
I
not,
like it
it's not bad. It's not bad, but the second half of it, it kind of, you know, goes a little off the rails with the baby hut stuff. I don't know. It's just kind of went off the rails. But I did like the Ventress stuff in it with you know, when Obi-Wan and Anakin have to show down with her, and it's not a bad place to start when learning about Ahsoka Tano. Yeah. You know, her intro when they're on Christophsis was kind of weird, where it's like, who is this? Why is she being so bossy to Anakin? And but you know, I love Ahsoka, and I think that her evolution has been awesome to watch. But yeah, that Clone Wars movie, it's certainly something.
It's so
if you watch it at, in the context of it's just an extended episode or it's like just a couple episodes put into one, it's gonna make it a much better, much easier experience, I think, to get through. It's not, it's not bad. I do enjoy it. I'm kind of I'm making it seem like I don't like it. I do like it, but it's not the best Clone Wars content there is. That's all I'm saying. There's better Clone Wars stories than the movie.
Yeah, it is funny though that it is the worst ranked Star Wars movie, just because of the fact that it's not a condensed story. It's a filler or it's a basically a starting point was a starting point for the series. So they rate it as it would be a standalone movie and kind of look at Infinity War kind of the same way. Because I remember when I rewatched Infinity War, like I waited a couple weeks and I went with my cousin because he hadn't seen it. And I was like, you know what? I'm fine with not watching this movie for a while. Like after seeing it twice, I was like, this is a big event movie and it's not something I need to watch on repeat like some of the others.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Definitely.
Because it's a chore, kind of.
I only watch it when I'm rewatching Clone Wars. Like, I don't randomly, I'm just like, let me watch the Clone Wars movie.
Oh, No. Yeah, no, I haven't. That's why I haven't watched it in a couple years, because I haven't. I remember it, so I didn't rewatch it when I started Clone Wars again.
Yeah, I watch it within the context of me rewatching Clone Wars in general.
Yeah.
It's like the same reason why I don't just go randomly watch one-off episodes of Clone Wars, except for I do the Mortis trilogy every once in a while. But aside from that, like, I don't watch random one-off episodes of Clone Wars, generally speaking. I usually watch it straight through.
Yeah. That's something good about Clone Wars, the fact that they are 20 minutes, is you can throw them on and do something else. And especially for people who've already seen it, you can just chug through them, like, no problem whatsoever.
Right, that's the good thing about Seasons 1 through 3 of Rebels. Season 4 of Rebels, they were still 22 minutes technically, but they were airing them back-to-back. Like, they were doing two episodes a week. So it was basically like a 40-minute episode every week. So season 1 through 3, it's like, yeah, you can chunk through them. But then season 4, it's like, it's still technically the same amount of time, but it's like you got to watch two episodes at a time instead of one episode at a time if you're not going to burn through the whole thing. You know what I mean?
So on that list, I haven't taken a look at it yet. Or I haven't taken as much of a look on it. Do they still have a lot of the filler episodes? They just put them in chronological order?
That list is every episode.
Okay.
It's every episode. It's just in the order of real time when they happen, not in universe when it happens versus like in real life release order. But yeah, it's every single episode.
There are at least a couple arcs that I'm just not going to watch.
I'll probably just put them on just to get through them, but it is what it is.
I really like that one with the children were going through the force training in the cave. I really liked that arc.
That one's kind of early too. I feel like it's like season 2 or 3.
No, that's like in season 5.
I don't think it's season 5, but I think it's season 4. Maybe because I watched it recently last watch through before I restarted it. Maybe I don't know. I thought it was like season 3 though for some reason. The Gathering, right? Was it what it was called?
No, it's in season 5. I'm looking for right now. I'm trying to remember when The Gathering is the first episode of the arc, and then it goes all the way through Bound for Rescue. Is it season 3 whenever they do that hard cut where the animation is completely different?
I think so. I did, because I remember when I was originally watching, I was watching on the Netflix. Before Netflix had streaming, I was renting the discs. I think I told the story before, and I like got the discs for like the following season, and it just was like a totally upgraded art style. So I do notice that. I think season 3 is around when they did that.
Yeah, and then I think that's when also they changed the clones' uniforms as well
to the ones that are in
Revenge
of the Sith.
Yeah. If this is a spoiler for Rebels, don't tell me. But this is just kind of off the cuff thought. Would you be interested in a book about Rex following the events of Order 66?
You mean like directly following Order 66?
Well, because you pretty much see his story throughout the Clone Wars in the Clone Wars. But I know after the Clone Wars, and he's not Revenge of the Sith.
Spoilers for Rebels. I won't say anything else, but spoilers for Rebels. I don't want him. So,
because he's a character I really, really love from the Clone Wars.
They address Rex in Rebels. That's all I'll say.
Okay. So there's nothing they can go in more in depth in like a
They probably could.
Like
they probably could, but I think that they want to answer that in season 6/7, whatever they're considering it, of Clone Wars. Like with like the new Clone Wars season, I think they're going to at least set that up, if not address it after Order 66. But I think they are going to set that up.
Oh, what if the very last episode of Clone Wars does like at the very last moment does like a quick flash forward to like scrolling through what happens in
Order 66? Dude, someone wrote that on a like a Facebook post or something where they're like, what if we see Order 66 from the clones' perspective? And I was like, I don't want to have nightmares for the rest of my life, my life, you know. I don't want to see Order 66 from the perspective of the clones. That would ruin me. Oh man.
That could
maybe
could,
maybe we'll see it from Rex's perspective.
Yeah, or
maybe
they could put that in the context of like a Jedi premonition, kind of like how
maybe
Yoda or Anakin has had.
Well, Dave Filoni did say how he originally wanted Clone Wars to end, and I'm going to just assume he's going to do something along the lines of that. Do you want me to tell you? I think I might have told you before.
You may have, but I don't remember.
I mean, he's like said it, like he's talked about it before, so it's not really like. All right. But I think he's setting it up to kind of butt right up to the beginning of Revenge of the Sith. That's all I'll say. But there's a thing that happens, and then it's kind of really cool. We'll see if he actually does it. We'll see. There was one more thing I wanted to say, and I can't remember what it was. Damn.
That's about how this show goes. We think about something, and then we just brain fart.
Oh, I remember what. If we ever get a live-action Ezra Bridger, it needs to be cast as Seth Rollins from WWE. Has to be. He is, like, I look at Seth Rollins, and I'm like, you're Ezra Bridger. Like, I don't know if you watch WWE or not. You should.
I know who Seth Rollins is.
Like, literally, like, I look at him, and I'm like, you are a grown-up Ezra Bridger. Like, so, that's kind of, like, my, that's, like, my crusade that will never happen, is I want Ezra Bridger to be cast as, or I want Seth Rollins to be cast as Ezra Bridger.
Oh, last thing for me. Still on the train of following Ray Park on Instagram, and he goes to cons a lot, and that's basically what he posts, but he's just a very funny dude. Like, it's just something about his character and something about how every time he's at a con, he's doing some sort of lightsaber tricks or he's doing some sort of acrobatics. I don't know.
He loves it. He loves the fans. He loves being involved in it. So I hope they give him a bigger part. Like even if whether it's Darth Maul returning in some way or if they just have him as a different character, I just want Ray Park to be part of the Star Wars movies. Same with what's his name that I mentioned last week, Daniel Logan.
I want him to
be Boba Fett, but I know people. I don't know how they'll feel about it.
See, I just followed him because I forgot you told me to do that, and this is the first post that I see. I'm showing Anthony a picture on my camera right now.
And it's Daniel Logan with Boba Fett's jetpack on.
Holding a cup of coffee. It's just people who...
Like him and Ray Park, they're so into it, dude. It's so cool.
Yeah. It's great to see that with the people who have had a part in Star Wars but continue to show that love and passion even after what we've seen of them is gone. As of right now, it's stuff like that's really good to see.
Right, like they're not actively portraying the characters, but they're still involved in it. That I love it. It's awesome. I would love to meet Ray Park and Daniel Logan. They both seem like such cool dudes. And it's cool that, like I said, that it seems like Ray Park is kind of mentoring Daniel Logan, which is really rad. So
I also didn't realize they were the same height. I knew Ray Park was short, but I didn't realize Daniel Logan was short as well.
Well, no, that's also Junis Suotomo who plays
Chewbacca. I know, but
Chewbacca.
Ray Park is still
so
short.
I don't think they're that short. I think they look shorter than they are because Junis Suotomo is huge.
How tall is Ray Park?
Ray Park is 5'10". He's like my height. He's not short.
Oh, is he?
He's just not tall.
Huh, I thought he was like 5'6".
Think about Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon compared to Darth Maul.
But I remember when
because I guess Tom Cruise is short too. So
I guess
you always put
perspective when he was Snake Eyes, he always looked shorter than everyone else.
Well, he was also next to The Rock, so.
Not in the first one. Not in the first one.
Yeah, we don't talk about the first one.
I like the first one, but I'm
notorious
for liking bad
movies. I don't know. It was one of those ones I just didn't care about it. Whatever. Thank you for listening to Hello There, a G.I. Joe podcast.
Go, Joe.
See, that's weird. Daniel Logan is 5'6".
Huh.
So maybe that's like a weird force perspective. Maybe he was like bending down or something. I don't know. Let's get Ahmed Best back in the Star Wars fold. You know?
You know, one person who is a, like, I'm pretty sure people have already said this before. I want to get Rahul Kohli in some kind of Star Wars thing, because I know he loves it, and I know that it would be really cool to see. I'm also mostly saying that because we've been binging iZombie, and it's such a...
Yeah, you were saying that last week.
And he's, like, he's a really funny dude in general, but, yeah, it's...
Do you think he would make a good Gungan?
I don't know if...
Is that what you say that?
I don't want to see him as a Gungan. I want to see him as a like a character, like a human character.
Oh, you want to see him, like his likeness in okay.
Yeah.
Because I think that he would make a good Gungan.
Yeah, he probably would.
I know there's a stigma towards Gungans, and they address that in Last Shot, where it's like, not all Gungans are like Jar Jar Binks, without saying Jar Jar's name.
Favorite scene, favorite character in Last Shot, still.
That was one sassy Gungan, man. Yeah. That was one really sassy Gungan.
So if you're a normal listener of Hello There, you're used to us rambling towards the end of the episodes just because we lose track of what we're going to say.
Yeah.
This is also the part where we're looking up things and we just have long silences.
What am I doing? I'm doing something. Oh, I gotta do something. Okay. All right. Yeah, so that's gonna wrap it up for Hello There. Yeah, we kind of stretched this episode a little bit by going off on some tangents, but that's fine because we like to go off on tangents about Star Wars. So next week, look out for heavy spoiler talk for Thrawn. So we're gonna be talking about the ending, specifically the last like 2 to 3 chapters of it, plus the epilogue, of course. So we're gonna be talking heavy on that, and then probably more Clone Wars stuff because I am still kind of, you know, making my way through my rewatch of Clone Wars. And then if anything else comes up, I mean, if I notice something weird in a rewatch of one of the movies, if Nate notices something, we'll bring that up too. Anything you want to talk about next week, just to give a kind of a quick preview?
For sure, we'll be talking about more Thrawn and Clone Wars. I only watched the first 2 episodes on that list today just because I didn't feel like spending an hour and a half watching the movie. So that's probably going to be the bulk of it. I'm going to see if there's something else that I can come up with that we can talk about. But offhand, those are for sure the 2 things I want to talk about.
All right, so that is going to do it for Hello There, episode 14. So we're going on, what would that be? We're going on 4 months, right? We're in the middle of the 4th month of us being a podcast.
Something like that.
Well, it might actually be at the end of 4 months because we had 2 hyperspace chat episodes. I don't know. We've been doing this for a little bit now, and it's pretty cool. We appreciate anyone that's been listening. We do notice we've had a bunch of, you know, kind of repeat listeners, so that's awesome. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you would like to support us on anchor.fm, please check us out. Go to anchor.fm/hellothere, where you can donate. I believe it's up to $10.
I think it's 99. I think it's $1, 5, or 10. I think that's the...
So you can basically just think of it as like a tip jar. So if you like what we're doing, if you want to support us, throw us a couple bucks. If not, this is always going to be a free podcast, and we appreciate you listening regardless. But yes, that is going to do it. General Kenobi, you are a bold one.
So uncivilized.